Good morning. Welcome back to the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast. Hope everybody's doing all right. Hope our apologies are at a minimum today. I did not have to say sorry so far. Thank God. So here we go. Another day, another dollar. I don't know. Life is starting to come back alive. Things are being lifted. Personally, I don't really give a shit. Take them damn masks off. That's what's driving me crazy. It's creating like this anxiety in my life, and it's easy to get the confused. I've been thinking a lot about the podcast that I did yesterday, and, you know, it's a fucked up subject. I didn't even, you know, there was so much after I even, I'm trying not to make a bunch of long podcasts. I'm just trying to chat a bit, move on to the next day, see what else we can get into. But I'm having trouble leaving that podcast behind yesterday because, you know, I talked about, like, what happens if I had been able to, like, chat with Chris Cornell? You know, obviously that's never going to happen, but what happens if somebody would have? What happens if somebody would have been able to chat with Kurt Cobain? Would that been able to, you know, intervene, possibly stop it? You know, my cousin, and I didn't even mention this yesterday, my cousin committed suicide, and he struggled with alcohol. I know he struggled with alcohol. I think a lot of people struggle with alcohol. It just isn't a problem until some shit hits the fan, but I think a lot of people struggle with alcohol, which is unfortunate. But I think my cousin struggled with alcohol, and he killed himself. But it wasn't like out of the blue. I think he actually waited till, like, his daughters and everybody, like, had graduated. Till they were almost set. And once he had taken care of him as far as that he was going to be able to take care of him, it seems like he just killed himself. Which, oh, you know. So I'm not sure if it's always, you know, maybe they're planning it. Maybe it's a plan, a big plan. I don't know. You know, there's no guarantees in life. We just show up, do what we can. Some people are like, hey, I'm good. I've done what I can. They move on. Some people stick it out. It's crazy, but it was just, I kept reflecting and thinking about that yesterday as I left that podcast, and, you know, still miss Chris Cornell. What a great guy. I mean, what a great artist. I didn't know him, clearly. I didn't even talk about this yesterday. When that album had come out, we got to actually go. So Soundgarden opened up for a band called Testament, and they played down at Iguanas down in Mexico, Tijuana. And I got to go see him. Didn't even know. Love Testament. It was weird in those days because I was still, you know, I'd grown up with big time, you know, Van Halen, Metallica. I often reminisce on my evolution through music. I remember I was a big Styx fan. Styx was a big band. I love that. I'm sailing away. What a fucking beautiful song that is. Big fan. My buddy Danny was a huge Rush fan, and I used to say, Tommy Shaw is better than Alex Lifeson. And he's like, Alex Lifeson's better than Tommy Shaw. And we used to battle it out, but then slowly I became a Rush fan. 2112. Oh, what a fucking great album that is, right? Rest in peace, Neil. Love that dude. But, you know, it was like, Styx. Actually, really, if I'm going to really go back, I remember liking even the Monkees. The Monkees. How funny is that? Big fan of the Monkees. And then I like Styx. And then it went into kind of a rush. And then I saw this movie, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, at the movie theater. And what it was fucking with the Bee Gees. And it was such a great movie. And Aerosmith. That was my first introduction to Aerosmith. And I remember, I don't know if anybody's seen the movie, but in the movie, the... actually, I'm going to make sure this volume's all right. All right, sorry. I don't know if that sounds any better, but I don't know if that sounds any Eddie Vedder, but... so that movie came out, and there's a part where they do Come Together Right Now, and fucking Aerosmith plays this, and, you know, they're clearly... It's a Beatles song, but they play... they play this version of it, and they come up out of the floor, and Steven Tyler's like psycho, you know, he's just all, you know, like early Axl, kind of first version of Axl Rose, so to speak, or maybe Axl Rose was the second version of Steven Tyler, I don't know, but just real rugged and raw looking, and I was just like, holy shit, who's this fucking guy? And I was a little kid, I mean, I was probably... 10, 11, 12, I don't even know. But I was definitely a little kid and big time into Aerosmith. I remember I went out and bought Aerosmith Bootleg, and that was a live album. And that album actually disappeared. You can actually get it now on iTunes or Spotify. Spotify has it again, but it disappeared for a long time. And then, what did I like after that? It's hard to remember. I was a big AC/DC fan, loved Angus Young, big Van Halen fan, loved Eddie Van Halen. I was definitely a guitar guy. I loved guitar. Back in those days, I used to buy Circus Magazine and Hit Parader, and I'd cut out all the pictures and put them all over my walls. But I was kind of doing this by myself. I was kind of solo, and I didn't really have a crowd, and I was in ninth grade, and I was kind of bouncing around, and... struggling to getting my education, and ended up going to the school Manzano and hooked up with my buddies Mason Jeff, and that was really my first time that I would start to feel like I was part of a crowd. It's so funny when I think about this, when I think about that time in my life right now, because I had started, I think it was in 10th grade. Yeah, it was definitely in 10th grade. I remember I could drive, and I parked in this parking lot, and I met this guy. I think his name was George, and he used to back his truck up in the school parking lot, and he would smoke pot. And I can't remember how we got connected, but I remember smoking pot in George's truck before school. And my first class was guitar, and I remember I ended up meeting my buddy Mace and Jeff. We were all taking guitar first period, and somehow we found out we all like smoking pot, and that was really the beginning of feeling like I was part of something. Up until this point, you know, I'd had friends. My brother was really my partner in crime up until that point. And I, you know, just, he was the guy I hung out. We biked. We grew up in Albuquerque, so we did a lot of biking. And my buddies Billy and Danelle were good friends. But when I hooked up with Mason Jeff, we really got into it. We, like, were the Three Musketeers. We loved smoking pot. Jeff and Mace were a little bit more advanced as far as partying goes. So I just kind of was like, yeah. And that's where we ended up. That was my introduction to going to a party, to really meeting women. I had started, that's around when I started growing out my hair. So my hair was long, and that was really my first introduction to one of my favorite bands was Metallica. And we all had that mutual love for the band Metallica. We also loved Ozzy. We love so much. I mean, what a great time to be alive, at least for me. I'm sure everybody says that. Oh, my youth was the best, but what a great time to be alive. Ozzy, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Metallica. I have these memories of just being stoned, sitting in like dark closets, listening to like Black Sabbath and Ozzy, and you know, listening to that Van Halen just now, that Eddie Van Halen used to make that freaking guitar groan, and then Randy Rhoads would do the same thing, and just love that. Love guitar, playing bands. But the one big thing that kept us together was drinking. We drank a lot and we smoked a lot. And not every day. Maybe one day of the week, maybe we get drunk. I would be a drunk driver. I'd drive around drunk. And it would also be the first time that I started realizing that I was a big mouth. I would get drunk and I would just be an asshole. I wasn't very big. I wasn't a physical guy, but I was very witty and very sharp tongued. And, one of the first things that I realized when I got sober was sarcasm. And someone told me that the definition of sarcasm is the tearing of flesh. And I think it's probably a little different than that, but for the most part, it's really the tearing of flesh. And I was very sarcastic. I could fucking tear someone down. I wasn't a physical guy, but sarcasm-wise, I was brutal. And I would later learn when I got sober, you know, I remember saying something to my friend, and I was sober. I was a few years in and going to a meeting. In fact, we were leaving a meeting, and he was talking to somebody. And I was like, God damn. And I was waiting in the car and waiting and waiting. And he came into the car and I go, oh, someone was a chatty Cathy. He's like, you know, it really hurts my feelings. Oh, Jesus Christ. The point is of this whole story, I guess when I was thinking about this earlier, it was really about when I started kind of how I ended up even becoming like an alcoholic or a practicing alcoholic. And I guess the point of that really was is that I kind of got into this lifestyle because I wanted to kind of fit in. I wanted to be a part of that group, Jeff and Mace. I really liked those guys and I wanted to kind of fit in, and they knew, you know, some other friends, and we kind of became a big crew, and we knew some girls, and I wanted to be part of that crew. And so I kind of learned to drink. I never liked the taste of alcohol, never liked beer, never liked Jack Daniels. Evan Williams. We never drank Jack. We drank Evan. And I think that would kind of, I don't know what that's really about. I've always said it's just habit. Just drinking and having fun, fitting in. And the problem is that one day that party stops. And that's kind of what happened when I moved to Delaware. You know, I'd been partying and the party stopped. And, wherever I go, I follow, right? Whatever trouble I had, it usually follows wherever I go. And, I came to Delaware in 94, and was sober by 97. I was just, it was that miserable. I'd just reached that bottom. And I loved, you know, it's so funny. I don't think I was ever really designed or cut out to be an alcoholic or practicing, or I've always had more aspirations for myself. I always wanted better things. So that was really the part that bugged me so much, is how shitty my life is. And one of the fun things about, like, the first step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. See, that I used to read that step. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable because of alcohol. Meaning, alcohol made it unmanageable is during while or was happening while I was practicing it. And that's, it would take me years to rethink that step and realize that my life didn't become unmanageable until I put down alcohol. Prior to that, I had no life. I had no life. I scraped together a few things that I would do in a day just so that I would feel better about myself. But the reality is I had no life. I wasn't providing care to anybody. Didn't have a family. I was taking from my parents. I could never get enough money together every month. My dad would have to help me out. I was talking to my friend about the first time I went and saw Pearl Jam. My dad paid for it. It was in 1996. Because I didn't have enough money. I said I'd pay him back. It was so funny back in those days. I would like build this credit up with my dad of this money I owed him, and then I would give him some money and yada yada, we kind of work, but then at the end of the year he'd kind of like pardon it, you know, like, don't worry about it. It's so fucking shitty. It's so one of the things I love today being sober is that you know, like we'll have my dad over on Friday, make him dinner, cook him steak, and you know, I took from him. I took from my mom for so long that it's just great to give back and be a part of. And there's no real criteria for this podcast. I'm drinking some Reishi turmeric tea today. It's very good. Anti-inflammatory. Did that run yesterday. I talked about that run yesterday. Whooped my ass. You know, we watched, I don't know if anybody watched this, but we finished watching The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary about, you know, the Bulls. And fuck, man, that was fucking so goddamn good. I've always, you know, I was talking to Sea Dog about this, that, you know, he's like, I watched every game back then. I loved the Bulls. And I'm like, dude, who didn't? I mean, back then, that was an event. The Bulls were like, yeah, this, that, and the Bulls. I mean, that was just part of daily culture. It's kind of like Trump or something. It was like, it was just, you had this going on, you had this going on, and oh, yeah, we got the Bulls. And I watched a lot. I was never a big basketball fan. I didn't particularly care, but I watched the Bulls. Loved Dennis Rodman's hair, but always remember the style and different things he would do. And it was just so great. If anybody watched it, I'm sure you agree. If you didn't watch it, check it out. It's funny because my wife, she's into some things, and it's sometimes like, so like you watch it, I'll just, you know, rest for a bit or something. And usually I watch the shit I have that she doesn't like at night before we go to bed, because she doesn't like some, like, I like watching Joe Rogan and I like this Last Dance documentary. So, but she ended up watching the last three. She watched 7, 8, 9, and 10, and it was so cool because they finished it off with Present Tense, a Pearl Jam song. And if anybody knows, like, Dennis Rodman's a huge Pearl Jam fan. Eddie Vedder has a big Chicago base. I don't know if he grew up in Chicago, but I know that he has a lot of ties with Chicago, so it was just perfect for them to use that song in the end. And, you know, the song is so fucking cool. Do you see the way that tree bends? Does it inspire? You know, that was all about that Michael Jordan thing. You know, it was surprising to see, like, I like Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp and But a lot of these, and I guess it's just clickbait, but a lot of these guys on these sports channels were saying that this was a bad look for Michael. He was the greatest player, but the show made him look bad. I don't agree with that. I thought the show made him fucking look great. And, you know, was he tough on people? Yeah. It's always tough to be the leader, right? It's always tough to be the guy in charge. I've been in charge. It's not in that level as a Michael Jordan, but, you know, when I was in the golf course business, I loved working on the golf course. And getting up early and hanging out with the guys and, you know, doing work. And then, but you get to a certain point, or I got to a certain point, and ended up having, I went to school for it and became to the next level, which was management, leader, you know, the boss. And all of a sudden, I'm not hanging out with the guys, and all of a sudden, nobody likes me because I'm having to pass down, you know, orders, so to speak. And it was just fucking terrible, and I hated that. I don't mind being a leader, but I didn't like it in that role, so to speak. But there's some, you know, there's some downsides. There's some downsides to being that the leader in something like that. And I just thought it was great. I'm not a Michael Jordan aficionado. I don't know all the stats, but I just know that this 10-part series, The Last Dance, was fucking amazing. And they ended the whole thing with, you know, that Pearl Jam, present tense. And it was just so good. Check it out. We really enjoyed it. My wife goes, I wish I'd have paid more attention in the beginning. You can go back and watch it. And I told her we would probably do that. It was just so much fun and really enjoyed it. Did anybody see it? I don't know. I hope you did because it was good. What else is going on? So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. This whole pandemic bullshit has, like, got me all fucked up. And I'm ready to move on. I think they're going to start opening shit on Friday. Are we going to be able to come back from this? Of course, right? What's it going to look like? How long are we going to wear these masks? The mask police. You know, these people cutting your eyes. You know, I like to wear my mask and I put my nose out. Get my nose out. Lady's like, your nose is out. I'm like, I'm aware of that. Shouldn't be out. Moisture could come out of your nose. And then I start to, it like starts poking at me. And I just want to fucking say something like, maybe you need to stay the fuck home. I don't know, right? I get a little grumpy. I think that's happening everywhere. Part of it is because you can't see the people's mouth. You can't see the smile. You know, I have a lot of, you know, as much as I've tried to work on my sarcasm, I still got a little in there. I'm still a human, right? You know, it's a lot of mouth gestures. Little teeth. Show the teeth a bit. Frown. I mean, you miss all that. Now we're just a fucking eyes in a mask. And it's hard to read people. So sometimes we fill in the blanks. And if I'm not in a good space, sometimes I fill in the blanks with bad things. Oh, what's their fucking problem? Huh? What's the big deal? It's tough. It's tough to work our way through it. I had to go grocery shopping. Still can't get any damn paper towels. I mean, it's not even like they're that important. But now I'm just like, how come I can't get them? Isn't there some limit on that shit? I don't know. The whole thing is weird. I know a few people that have caught the COVID-19 virus. They've done fine. I hear all the time all the people who have died, you know, thoughts and prayers, love and peace. But it's hard to get too much more into it and hang on to it for too much more longer because I'm clear there's not a lot of it going on around me. We're just all a bunch of people with masks on now. I mean, how long do we change our lives for it? I mean, 9 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks. I had a lady come in the other day. She had two masks on. And I said, why two? She goes, you should really have one of those N45 or whatever those next step below a respirator mask on. And I'm like, no, I have my mask, my paper mask. It prevents spitting. And She said, well, you should really wear it. I go, I'm fine. You, if you're that sick or susceptible, you should stay home. I mean, right? I mean, at some point, I don't know. And then the, on top of all that, I get a little angry. I get a little fucking fueled up. And it's, I don't know. I'm just, Friday's coming. I made a reservation for Thompson Island Brewing, the restaurant. I'm going in. We're going to have dinner. I'm taking my wife for her birthday. I made a reservation. I don't care what I have to wear. You know, these restaurants in this area are fucking getting a beat down. And we need to, we don't need to do anything. I would like to be there to help support them. It may help. Some of these, some of these businesses may never make it back. Somebody will come in and probably pick up the scraps, but it's going to be tough. So, I don't know, support them however you can. They have great food, I know that. I remember sitting in George's truck listening to this Metallica, and I was like, who this? I never heard of this before. The cool thing was I was in guitar, so we got to go to guitar, and then that's when I hooked up with Mason Jeff, and we would learn this. I would later learn this song on guitar, one of my first songs I ever learned. So good. About back in those days, I remember I was so sad. I guess it's just part of being a teenager, but man, it was like, I love that. There is nothing more for me. I mean, how can there be nothing more for you at like 14? I mean, the whole world is out there, but man, I love that shit. Pink Floyd used to take me to that. I guess maybe I'm just old school emo. I don't know. But, it's just funny when I listen to that. It's, there is nothing more for me. Just so fucking emotional. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for checking out the podcast. I'll catch you on the next one. Peace. Right here. Woo! That was added later, that goodbye. Goodbye. I used to sing that and always, and after I'd sing it, I'd go, goodbye. And then they remastered it and added it. All right, everybody, have a great day. Bye-bye.